God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you'll turn to Proverbs 6, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. We thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I pray, touch every heart here tonight. Speak to each one. I pray, anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. Understanding pride. Understanding pride. When you read in Proverbs 6, these things that the Lord hate, yea, even are an abomination to him. The first thing you read is a proud look. That's a prideful person. The scripture speaks about the seven deadly sins, and these attitudes and the character traits are determined to a person's relationship with God. I talked to you earlier about relationship. Folks, we must have a relationship with God. Amen? These sins, these seven deadly sins, will kill a person's spiritual potential. It will cut off their ability to enter into the fullness of God's blessings. But what is sin? You see, sin is an attitude. Sin is an attitude and action that is contrary to God's plan, that is contrary to God's purpose for our lives. Sin is missing the mark of God's perfection. Sin isn't a conscience agreement or a consensus agreement about what is right and what's wrong. Listen, let me tell you something tonight. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks is right and wrong. What matters is what God thinks is what's right and wrong. That's who we're going to stand before on that judgment time. Okay? We're going to stand before him, and he's going to open the book. Okay? So everything you need to know that is right and wrong is in the book. Because that's what we are going to be judged according to. So, sin is not a conscious agreement of what is right and wrong. It's what God says. God hasn't conducted a poll, folks. He hasn't conducted a focal group to solicit our opinions on his nature and our depravity. You know, he's not asking, everybody tonight, what do you think about this? No, God's saying, hey, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. You either follow it or you don't. But either way, there's consequences to your decision. So God measures sin solely against his perfect righteous character. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what does that mean? That means we've all sinned. We all need God. We all need salvation in our life. Amen. So according to the Bible, we sin in two basic ways. Number one, it's a commission. Willful activity against God's directiveness. Okay? God says do this, we say, I'm doing this. So it's willful activity against his directives. And the number two reason is omission. Actively, we could have, would have, or should have done. But we didn't. I should have been doing this. I should have acted this way, but I didn't, okay? Augustine said this, sin has two causes, either from not seeing what we ought to do or from not doing what we see needs to be done. You see, pride is the worst and most prevalent of the seven deadly sins. Why? Because it is either the source or chief component in all of the others. So I read all those deadly sins. Okay? A proud look, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running with mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies and soweth discord among the brethren. Pride is active in all of that. Pride is the most prevalent of in all of those sins. So pride is the instigator of all sin. Pride convinces laziness that someone else should do it for me. Right? Pride convinces lust that my pleasure comes before God's priorities. Pride convinces anger that if I don't get my way, someone will have to pay. Pride convinces gluttony that I better get my fill. Pride convinces greed that the more I have, the more I will be satisfied. So, the definition, the American Collegiate Dictionary defines pride as a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, and superiority. We use terms like egotistical, arrogant, selfish, vain, conceited, boastful, and big-headed. A man by the name of Tony Campolo said, pride is arrogant self-worship. It is the sin of exalting oneself and placing one's own interest above the interest of others. Pride craves admiration, and will not share the limelight. Pride deludes its victims into believing they have no peers and drives them to try to destroy anyone who takes recognition from them. The proud are in love with themselves and seek to call attention to their admirable qualities. You see, pride thinks it's all about me. It's all about me. That's what pride thinks. Pride, folks, is the worship of me, myself, and I. I call it the Holy Trinity. You see, pride is a beast. Pride, it goads us up into trying to make a name for ourselves in the headlines of the world. Some of us are convinced pride is essential for us to accomplish our objectives, to get our slice of the pie of life. But folks, in reality, pride casts us further into the spiritual desert of barrenness. C.S. Lewis said this, for pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. So when you look at the root of pride in Luke 18, it's self-righteous. When you look at the Pharisees, look at his attitude. He wasn't a bad sinner or as others. He was more spiritual because he was more pious and religious. Truth is, he knew how to put a better show on. Amen? He thought he would show God why God needed and deserved him. Self-righteous people think their goodness can get them into heaven and that they can meet with God's approval. You see, they see heaven as a place with a pecking order. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your works aren't going to get you to heaven. You better have a relationship with God, and you better obey the Scripture. You see, folks, understand this tonight. God is not impressed with self-righteous pride. He's not. We are forgiven only by God's grace. John MacArthur said some people get so caught up in their own holiness that they look at the Trinity as a see if there's a possible vacancy. We have a difficulty giving up the worship of self-honor to God when you're prideful. We want the honor. We want the worship. We think we deserve praise. It scares me when I get an attitude sometimes to think I don't want to worship God. And we all are guilty of it. But we better push this flesh and say, you're not in charge. We're going to worship God tonight, no matter how I feel. Come on. We're going to worship Him. We're going to praise Him, no matter how I feel. We think we deserve praise ourselves. See, until we understand we have no righteousness in our own, and we're just sinners saved by grace, folks, we will continue this line of stinking thinking. You're no better than I. No, I'm no better than you. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. Amen? Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Another look at that verse is this man was self-sufficient. The Pharisee looked and he said this, look at me. I have no need for anyone else. I can do it myself. I don't need small group. I don't need church. Come on. This view holds that me, myself, and I are the only ones that he can count on. You see, pride keeps me from getting help from others. Listen, if you got it all together, then and you don't need help from anybody else, well, at least help somebody else yourself. Come on. But let me tell you something. If you have that kind of attitude, you don't need anybody else. God's going to humble you someday. Pride keeps me from getting help from others. We need each other. Amen? We got to get rid of our pride. We need each other. Let me tell you something, folks. God created the church. If you think you don't need the church, you're telling God you wasted your time, God. God knows what we need. He created us. Amen? He knows what we need. We need each other. So pride keeps me from getting help from us. I got marriage problems. I'm too embarrassed to get help. That's pride. I got money problems. I'm too self-sufficient to get help. That's pride. When I'm not when I'm not cutting it as a parent, I'm not cutting it as a boss, I'm not cutting it as an employee, I'm ashamed to tell anybody about it. That's pride. A man by the name of George Gordon Liddy, he said this, I found within myself all I need and all I shall ever need. I am a man of great faith, but my faith is in George Gordon Liddy. And I have never failed me. That's a sad place to be. That is a sad place to be. See, a self-sufficient spirit boasts in what it has accomplished or what it can do. That's pride. And then there's the self-centered person. This Pharisee was self-centered. He said, you see, pride prevents me from helping others. Why wouldn't we want to help somebody else? Amen? But pride prevents you from helping somebody. Pride, it thinks I'm too good to get my hands dirty. Come on. I'm too good to get my hands dirty. Hey, I don't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. Or, no, I'm not going in that house. You're too prideful. It's all about me. Pride is the worship of me. Forget the sun. I'm the center of the universe and everything orbits around me. That's pride. See, the only reason the Pharisee stood up in the first place was to draw attention to himself. He was not about to allow anyone else to get the spotlight. Prideful people don't like to share the limelight because it's all about me. But there's a reality of pride, folks. The reality of pride is that it can be either positive or negative. And unfortunately, we're more accustomed to the negative or poison pride. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, it said, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. The difference between positive and negative pride is comparison. Positive pride is rooted in minding your own business without comparing yourself with others. It's all about how your effort complements the mission. You see, if you've done your best, then you ought to be proud of what you've done without it going to your head. Amen? Positive pride is about endeavoring to become who God created you to be by maximizing your potential. Poison pride is minding other people's business to the point of comparison. It's attempting to maximize yourself by comparing what you have with others. Poison pride always compares what I've got with what you've got. Poison pride always compares with my friends with your friends. It always compares with my privileges with your privileges. It's destructive cancer. And then there's the deceptive and deceitful. Psalms 10 verse 4 says, in his pride the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God. Pride lulls us into thinking that we're better than others by comparison. You know, there's a thought in today's world that people in churches are, they need help. They got problems, and that's why they get together. It's like a support group. No, they're the wise ones. They understand who's in charge. Amen? Pride lulls us into thinking that we're better than everybody else. I'm better than you because the Bible calls this sin. Why does it call it? Because you are putting yourself in a role of God and because you are putting your others beneath you. We should never think we're better than anybody. Now, it's easy to say, well, I don't, but do you bring people to your house? Do you have them hang with you? Do you do things with others? Maybe that are not as wealthy as you? Come on. We have to be careful. Jesus helped everybody. You know, he was even accused of being a wine bibber, a glutton. Because he was hanging with people that the Pharisees looked down upon. So don't put yourself in the role of God. Because you are putting others beneath you. Let me tell you something. You want to see a soul saved, you got to let people know you love them first. They'll hear what you have to say if they know you care for them. Amen? Pride is devilish. It's demonic. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 through 19, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, sardis, topaz, and the diamond, and beryx, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the chinable, and the gold, and the workmen of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. But the multitude of the merchandise they have filled in the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, a covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of the beauty of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Anybody who they're talking about here? God is looking past the king of Tyre and being motivating him, Satan. Pride, we read in this, came from Lucifer. Okay? Pride came from, he took pride in his perfection. Understand, we heard here, he was created this way. But he began to take pride in his perfection. God created us who we are. What makes us think we should be proud because we're better than others? That's of Satan, folks. You see, he was the ultimate expression of divine beauty and the capstone of God's creation. He was second in heaven and first among the angels. He was on the mountain of God in the ultimate position of authority. He walked with the Shekinah glory among the fiery stones. Folks, we're never more like Satan than when we are prideful. Every major mistake man has ever made has been rooted in pride. Adam and Eve, rooted in pride. They ate of the fruit. Why? Because of pride. They wanted to be like God. Babel, the Tower of Babel, said we could stay together and build something great in our image to show God how good we are. A tower that touches God. That's pride. Pride is destructive. Pride is devastating. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The MSG scripture says this, pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Proverbs 29, 23, pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. There's a remedy of pride, though. You know what that is, anybody? The remedy of pride? Okay, here's your revelation. Ready? Get over you. Huh? How about it? Luke 19, 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little in stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. See, Jesus is going to that sinner's house. He wasn't too prideful. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, and when they saw it, they all murmured and saying, thus he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to look at Zacchaeus here, folks. The Bible says he's a tax collector. He was hated by the Jewish people because he was taking taxes from them and giving it to the Roman government. He had a proper perspective of his life, and he understood his sinfulness. He understood that he wasn't self-righteous or self-sufficient, so he had no reason to be self-centered. He knew that he needed help. He was broken. Spurgeon said, "Be not proud of race, face, place, or grace." We have to understand who we really are. I was raised in this, folks. I was raised in this since I was 4 or 5 years old. Just turned 56. But I need Jesus every day. Amen? I don't want to be proud. Amen. I don't want to be proud of the grace of God. I think I'm better than anybody else. I want to love everybody. I want to help everybody. We have to get under God. See, the key to pride is found in understanding who is really in charge. Our behavior and our attitudes, folks, are altered when we know who is in control. And ultimately, we all need to realize that God is large and He's in charge. And folks, that we are His creation. Amen? We have to understand that. We are His creation. And He has the right to ask anything of us that He desires. Let's stand. Amen. We need to understand too, folks. And one thing that helps us is we understand authority. We need authority in our lives. And unless you can submit to authority, pride is going to take you away from the throne of God. Amen? Understand it. Amen. Its importance in our lives. I knew growing up in this and trying to serve God and wanting to do something great for God, unless I understood authority and submitted myself, I could never be used of God. Amen. And that's what happened when Satan was stepping out from under that authority, that umbrella. And usually when you do that, you take people with you, whether it's your family, friends. You always take people with you when you step out from under authority. Because those people, amen, let's think about it. All the people you know, your mission field, you know people I don't, right? At your workplace, you know people that I don't. If you step out from under that authority, are they going to follow you to heaven? No, they're not. But if you stay under authority and realize who you are, you're a child of the King. He's your creator. Amen? And I must line up under that authority that I can be used of Him. Then you can bring those people in and take them to heaven with you. Amen? Amen. God, we thank You for Your word. Bless each heart here tonight. Help us, Lord, if we go home to take this and ponder on it, Lord, and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.